How you guys doing? Good morning. Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. We praise you, and we're here to learn sound doctrine. There is a set of beliefs that you have given us in the Bible, and we want to learn it. We want to be equipped. We want to have a strong convictions about the word. And we also want to have a fruit. We need that everything that is happening in our mind, in our heart, that is godly, that you please bless that, and we have fruit. We ask you all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. How you guys doing? This is too much. Very overwhelmed. Thank you. So I don't even know why I'm saying this story, especially with this many people in here. But keep in mind, this happened a long time ago, all right? A long time ago. It's not a recent story. It's not me anymore, but it did happen to me. So it was summer. I'm one of those Latinos that is driving a Honda Civic. You know that, right? You know that noise? It's hot. Windows are down. Music is blasting. Long time ago, okay? I just wanna. And so I'm listening to the music. You know, I don't even remember what was the first song that I chose, but I put it really loud, and then I hit a red light. And I'm at this red light. And when I'm at the red light, I'm just singing the song. But this time, the first song that I picked, it is gone. So I'm at a red light, and there is windows down. There is people to my left. There is two men that are looking at me. And I'm in the middle of a song blasting, and I'm, this girl is on fire. Yes, it didn't look very manly. It didn't look the way I wanted to look. But that's the stuff that I want to talk to you about today. So the book has given us that there is a road trip. And in this road, we're going to try to, does everybody have a piece of paper? Anybody missing any? That we get distracted. We get distracted very easily. We get distracted when we want to do the right thing. Sometimes we don't even notice. There is trying to have a foundation of a set of beliefs, and it just doesn't happen right away. Now, one of the very first things that I want to do today, it is, what is sound doctrine? Then the definition that the book gives us, it is the next one. Sound doctrine is a summary of the Bible teaching that is both faithful to the Bible and useful for life. The next thing that I want to do, the book does a great job illustrating everything that we need. It'll give us all the definitions of sound doctrine, but it fails to do one thing. It is like how we, the people that come to grace, can apply this in our life. So the thing that I want to do, I think some of you have these passages highlighted. I want to ask you to please help me with the passages. Who's got Psalm 119? Can you please help me out loud? Amen. So we want to start with that idea that the Word of God is the light to our feet. The next one, Hebrews 4.
For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account.
Amen. So we want to keep that in mind, that it is the light that it judges our heart, our mind. Colossians 4, 5. Anybody?
Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time.
Amen. 2 Timothy.
And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will.
Titus 2, 1.
what is appropriate to sound doctrine.
We must teach. It's not an option. We must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. And then 1 Timothy 1.
As early when I went into Macedonia, stay here in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to keep false doctrine any longer. Or to devote themselves to men and endless theology, such as things promote controversial speculation, rather than advance God's work, which is by faith. The goal of the command is love, which comes from pure heart and good conscience and sincere faith.
Amen. Thank you, Christian.
Welcome.
So, how does that take form here at church? So, number one, we have our doctrinal statements. We need to write it down. We need to present to others what we believe. We also have our doctrinal distinctives. We have our godly elders. This should be number one, by just the way that I want to present it, preaching. By the way that our pastor preaches, that the word is handled, we understand sound doctrine. And then obviously all the ministries and activities. Our doctrinal statement and doctrinal distinctives provide us, number one, brevity. You know, how when somebody comes and asks you, what do you guys believe? What do you guys believe at the church? And you can easily go to our doctrinal statements and distinctives, and this is what we believe. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to look for it. And it's also very easy to study. You can just pick them up and try to learn them, teach them to others. The following is clarity. We need to be clear. We need to be precise with the definitions, with everything that we believe. We need to be having godly lives, and we need clarity for that. The next one is honesty. We need to be honest with others on the stuff that we believe. We need to be honest with ourselves on the things that we believe. And as you can see, this brings unity. You're sitting next to someone that has the same beliefs as you do, and therefore we easily live together. And the last one will be division. And good fences make good neighbors. It is division with other people that believe different than us, but at least we're very clear and very honest on the things that we believe. So this is some more doctrinal statements. I don't really want to go to every single one, but I do want to ask you, and I want to encourage, like when you have some time, so this is the copy when I became a member, and everything is in there. You sign up for this, to believe this. And it is good for us because it is sound doctrine, because it is the stuff that the Bible says that it is, right? About the Scripture, Trinity, God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, men, salvation, Christian conduct, church, and the last things. So we want to be very clear on all these things that we believe. That way we can have a nice, godly living. Then there is some doctrinal distinctives. I took the class with Pastor Randy when I was going to become a member. And it almost looked like he didn't want me there in a way that, okay, guys, this is what we believe. There is eight of these things. If you believe seven or all of them, you're going to have a good time here. But if you only believe one or two, I don't know, maybe I can help you to look for another church. And like I thought we want him, you know, to be here. But I think he understood very clearly the importance of believing all these things to have some unity and division, not among ourselves. And he also encourages that if we believe anything different from this, please keep it to yourself. You know, if you want to be a little charismatic, go to your closet and do it there. And I think that was very wise. We need to have unity. We have a beautiful thing going on here at Grace, and there is no need for disturbance. Now, our pastors and elders, this is the most difficult one, because I did want it to go one by one, like name Pastor Jag and all the elders in here. But I was going to say some nice things that they have done for me. But I was a little scared that they weren't nice to you and you were going to feel bad. So I'm not going to do that. Like, why did they're nice to him? But there is some things that need to be said, because I believe they wouldn't like me to be mentioning their name and put them in a good place. Like, you know, Pastor Jack is this and Sergio is doing this. They wouldn't like that. And that is exactly the reason why we should be talking about them, because they're godly people. Now, these godly people, these elders and pastors at our church, they are, and they need to be equipped. They need to be handling the Word of God correctly, the right way, with the right beliefs. They also need to be showing some godly lives. Because remember, last week we were talking about how do we receive? What is the ways that we can engage with sound doctrine? It is through people in authority. And there is some people that abuse this authority, but not in here. Definitely not in this place. Faithful teachers. And man, they are some faithful teachers. I love used to be sitting down and writing down everything that they say. I don't want to waste anything that comes out of their mouth, because they are faithful teachers. They are counselors. They come and they ask you, you know, how's everything going? How's everything with the family? And you can have that moment of intimacy with them in a way that they make you believe. And I understand that this is real, that they worry about your spiritual life, because that's what they're called to be. And last one, protectors. They are protectors. When it comes down to the Word of God and anything that needs to be happening here at church, I mean, I just hear those stories. Wednesday nights go all the way to like midnight. And, you know, they still go home and call each other. What are we going to do? They're protecting our spiritual lives. And as I said, preaching should be number one. It is the number one in Sunday. We should be encouraged. We should want from Saturday night. We should be getting ready Saturday night. Tomorrow is the preaching of the Word of God. Because the preaching of the Word of God fills our faith. We may be discouraged. There may be things that we do not understand that is happening in our life. And does it happen to you that you show up Monday morning? It is that subject that the pastor brings. And then we need to grow in grace. We are spiritual beings. You know, like C.S. Lewis says, we're not a body with a soul. We're a soul with a body. And our bodies are going to stay behind. We don't live according to the flesh. We are some spiritual beings that we need spiritual teaching, experiences, not in a charismatic way, but you guys know what I mean. And we are being equipped. We are being equipped to serve your married, your wife, your kids, if you're a kid, your parents, your surrounding. And we are encountering Jesus. During the preaching, something magical, something spiritual, something beautiful happens. And it is that the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is talking to everybody, but at the same time, just to you. That is just beautiful. And only He can do that. This is not a tech talk. Like, this is not something that a human being is just putting together to look good. The preaching of the Word of God, it is an encountering with Jesus. And we're becoming like Jesus. There is many things that we don't like about each other. No. There is many things that we don't like about ourselves. And we're rightly to believe that. There is many things that we shouldn't be liking. And that is because they don't reflect Jesus. We need to be reflecting Jesus. Now, what are the ministries and activities that are happening here? Can you please read that one, brother?
But as for you, speak the things that are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the Word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be
Amen. Thank you. So this passage on Titus, it reflects the unity in the family and how that applies to the church and how all the teaching of the church, all the sound doctrine, it is reflecting within the family. And for that, we have different ministries, and this is going to be the next class that we have. We're going to go through everything that is happening here in Grace and how we should be connecting and serving in every one of those aspects in ministries. So we have the men's ministry, women's ministry, things that are related to youth ministry and children. And we also have activities all year round. And those activities are not just to keep you busy. They're not just to entertain you and I bring the kids. They have purpose. People are praying for these things. People are preparing. They're investing money, time. You know, everything that they do for these activities, we should be taking advantage of all of them. All right. So I don't know how this next part is going to go. All right, I may get fired after this one. All right, let's see. So there is three distractions to avoid, and don't be this person. Why is the pastor just keep talking about me? I was that person. Don't you come to church? Sometimes it's like, why? So we need to avoid thinking that everything is related to you. In Spanish, there is a saying that it says, tú no eres la última coca del desierto. You're not the last coke in the desert. You know, it's not just surrounded. Everything is not about you. And sometimes we come to church and like, okay, everybody knows my sins. Everybody knows what I'm doing. Somebody told the pastor, that's why this thing is happening. And that is going to give in us some bitterness. We're not going to enjoy. We need to come here to be edified. We want to understand the word of God. We want that to shape us. But if we just think that everybody's talking about me, we'll be bitter. We'll start having some egoistic behaviors. We're going to act like everything is around me, that everything is happening to me, that nobody cares about me. It's a me action. We don't want that. And then some spiritual stalemate, right? Just do what I do. I don't think that the pastor is talking about me. I just think that the pastor is talking about you. You know, that's easier. I never think he's talking about me. So I'm kidding. It just needs to be a balance, right? Yes, in a way, the Bible is just talking about me because that's the only person that I can change. I am responsible for me. But also, not everything is related for me, right? It's better to serve. It is for me to change, to be like Jesus, to serve others. Then the next one. Bro, I just watched this video on TikTok. Avoid getting your knowledge, your biblical knowledge, only in social media. Because I tell you what, there is some people in here that they see covenants all over the Bible. I'm kidding. Some people got that joke, and that's not fair what I just did right there. There is this time in life that we're learning, and social media is very accessible. And we just got to click, and we learn. And we click, and we learn another subject. And we just expect our leaders, our pastor, anybody that we're talking to, that they need to know all that. And we just come with like some weird questions. There is a beautiful way that Grace, it is built, right? I just showed you the distinctives, the doctrinal statements. That is our base. And then there is classes put here for you in order for you to understand. And then, what are the dinosaurs not mentioned in the Bible? What do you think about UFOs? I mean, those are like good questions, but sometimes don't have the right intentions. And it does bring confusion to you and other people around you, like if you're sharing the wrong information. Division, because now we have different beliefs when they weren't needed from some information that didn't come from nobody in leadership inside this church. Uncertainty, who should I be believing? Are my elders, are my pastor, my leaders telling me the truth just because we are clicking too much in the pages that we shouldn't be clicking. And the last one, you're just wasting your time. Because now you're learning something that you need to unlearn. And now you got to start learning the right things. So you just wasted your time. You just wasted your time instead of just learning what you're supposed to be learning. Last one. Don't be that guy. Especially not that. But there is ministries and activities at your church. And you're just expecting, you know, there is ministers and activities at other churches. Why aren't we doing that? Avoid thinking about what other churches are doing, because this will give you excuses not to do something. You're like, I will surf, but they're not doing this. They're not going surfing. They're not going camping. They're not. So two things are happening right here. One, yes, you're creating excuses not to surf. But the second one, what if God is using you to start that ministry? Because it's very easy to come and ask the pastors, hey, pastor, can we have that ministry? Yeah, are you willing to serve? I'll wait. If you do have a godly desire of serving and equipping other saints here at the church, that may be a signal that you are being godly, spiritually given those talents to help others. Then you will not value what is right in front of you. There is other things that you may not want, but you definitely need. You may not want to do all those ministries that are here, but you need them. And I know how I know that you need them, because there is pastors, there is leaders that are praying that they want to put everything that you need here at Grace. And they thinking about you, they're praying for you. So in order for you to be part of those, that accomplishes the purpose of those classes. Then there is ungratefulness, right? We always want the grass is greener on the other side. We always want what others have. And then we just become ungrateful to what we already have. There are people putting time into all this, and we're just like, the next one. So this kind of thinking that we have towards things, it is wrong. It is ungodly. So, Marco, what should I be doing instead? Because like that one, I go to church. No, I am the church. I am the church. What should I be doing? Okay, so I think you should be taking advantage of the sound doctrine that is already happening here. Take advantage of not only the classes that are being given to you, but also the people that are around you. Look for godly people to spend some time with them. By the way, Corey Winship, it's already taken. Don't go to him. That's my boy. Look for people. Look for opportunities for some godly men that you want to learn from, that you want to spend some time with, that you want to have create those nucleus and beautiful families spending time with each other. Also, I think this is a pretty basic one, but sometimes spending too much time on social media, we skip it, and that is reading, praying our Bible. And this last one, be very intentional. Look for opportunities to disciple and be disciple. Look for opportunities to disciple and be disciple. And this includes that your convictions are going to change, that your commitment is going to be 100% with that person. If you are teaching someone, it is a soul. It is someone, there's someone's soul, some effect that that person is going to have. That person has a family or will have a family. And you're putting some knowledge into that person. Make sure that you say the right things. But also, if you just want to be disciple and you go under somebody else's care, be responsible with your time, with the reading, with everything that this other person is telling you what to do. Because they're putting their whole life into you. So we should be intentional about looking and having these opportunities, right? It will be very unrealistic that we expect that Pastor Jack single goes with every single person and disciples them. But he and the elders in the church, they grow older leaders. And we need to be disciples. We need to be learning sound doctrine. So the thing that I want to do for the next 14 minutes, it'll be like I mentioned in the first class. So this morning, main idea, it is sound doctrine. It is God's roadmap for the Christian life. And grace already gave us this. Grace gave us a set of beliefs that we need to be learning and that we understand and that we approve and that we embrace. And it's also giving us some classes through the years. So this is on you the next 14 minutes. Does anybody want to let us know how this situation, how does this work out in your life with your family? And then the existential, how is this affecting you as an individual? So we can go, I used to believe this, now I believe this, and therefore I do this. Or can go like, I just showed up at Grace, they taught me this, I started doing this, and therefore now I believe this. So it can go either way. Anybody wants to go first? If you guys don't raise your hand, I'll pick you, okay? Christian, yes. Okay.
And now I'm reading and I'm doing all the public events, the
outreach. Nice. Thank you, Christian.
Welcome.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, brother.
I think one of the, at least in my own life, one of the easiest examples I can think of how God's word is the roadmap for life can be in the context of marriage. And here we have premarital counseling, and my wife and I did that with Pastor Randy.
Correct.
The woman are as parents, and then we got married, and we're like, whoa.
yes, so same reaction.
Seeing all the different, older families who are, 1, 2, or 10, 20 years ahead of us, and being able to reach out to them for wisdom and getting that discipleship to be able to ask them, hey, how does this work out in your marriage? How did this look? How did you go about that situation? So I think that better understand what the Word of God about says, how to carry out this area of life, and then getting that discipleship from people who are further ahead of you,
yes,
how it actually works out. So I would say that would be the biggest example that I could. The same thing applies for parenting, too.
Correct.
Yeah,
but that is beautiful, right? So sometimes it comes through just serving, sometimes about learning from others that are having the same experiences as us.
Mine is more like a question. There is people that doesn't have like a cohort, or we have a lot of different ages groups. So
yes.
How they could apply the gospel in their life, whatever they're learning here.
How can by the way, that's my wife, and she's giving me a question that I wasn't getting ready for. That is God working with me. All right. I'll tell you tonight, mommy, okay? So the question is, how can we apply...
to the different group of ages and different situations, because not everybody's married.
Correct.
How they could, grow up...
So... why you guys, it should be an easier one, number one. Two, a lot of that answer for that one will be on the next class that we're going to be going on detail on everything. So it is life of the church, and then we're going to go the life in the church. This first section is like life of the church, meaning that the church, because of the Bible, has a, per se, a life of itself. It doesn't need us. It needs none of us. We can just die today and a revelation is still going to happen. The second coming of Jesus will still be here. But then the next one, since we already here and we love our church and we are believers that want to impact others, right? That comes to your question. How can we give it to the the 7-year-old and also this 80-year-old? How can we talk to people that are married and single people? How can we impact them? So we have different, not only ministries, but also activities. And the activities or ministries that we don't have, if it is in your heart, you know, to impact others, moms or single moms young adults, whatever that window is, we do want to offer those opportunities. And what is the gospel? So the gospel, it is understanding that we are sinners. So we have this, I'm going to do a little Pastor Chris right here. This is theology, this is anthropology, and there is a gap. A lot of us live like this. We are, our anthropology, the way that we look at ourselves is like, we're not that bad, and God is pretty good. And you just live like this. But the more you study yourself, this, like, you understand that you're evil. And the more that you study God, you start understanding that God is just amazing, and that this gap, it is sin, right? So amartology, the study of sin. So when we start understanding sin, then we have a right comprehension of what happened at the cross. Because if I just think that at any moment I can just like believe one day and my sins will be forgiven, many people will wait till they're, you know, in the hospital or something. But if you understand that that has given into you, right? So if I give you $5, you'd be like, thank you. But if I give you $5 million, thank you, right? It changes. If you understand that all your sins are forgiven and those sins were keeping you apart from God's glory and you're all the way down here, that if you're here, it's just greater. So to answer your question, there is some stuff that is already here, but if all of us understand the gospel, then we can impact anybody at any time. No more questions. Whew. Especially from you. Yes, brother.
A billion things have changed since coming to Grace. One of the things was growing up in the church, I think the way we perceive God, or at least the way I perceive God, is it's hard to all at once. All of that he is all at once. And growing up in the church in the 90s, you hear about his love and his mercy, and it's everything's an invitation, and everything's he's pleading for you. And that is not diminished. It is true. But to the detriment of learning about his all-surpassing wrath, holiness, and jealousy. And, like, I didn't hear that as much. And then so you hear that, and it strikes you as God. It stops being the God begging for your heart and becomes the God who, no, you're going to come to him out of, it's you're the weak one.
Yes.
And you're going to come to him. And so I think in trying to balance that too, we tend to take, okay, if he has all this judgment, wrath, and all this kind of holiness, then we're going to mute the other a little bit. But I think what happens that was a blessing to me is understanding that he's he's infinitely in the direction of holiness.
Yes.
And he's infinitely in the direction of mercy. Mm-hmm. And it's simultaneous and all and now and the same thing. And it's overwhelming.
That is deep. Yes. Yes.
You know, instead of tempering both and be like, oh, he has wrath, but his mercy tempers his wrath. His mercy doesn't temper his wrath. They're both always all. And it's I don't know, that grew me in inspiring understanding how dynamic and large he is, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Next sales class will be on the infinite holiness and infinite grace. That was beautiful. That is deep. That was good. Thank you, brother. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Yes.
I love what your wife's question. I love babies, little children, and I used to help out in risers and nursery. And then I was constantly getting sick, and my doctor said, Carol, you have to stop, you know, exposing yourself, you know, to teaching, you know, little children like that. So I was like bummed out, like, Lord, I have this passion. And, you know, I just prayed about it. And then there was a ministry to bring meals to young mothers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, that's really sounds something fun to do. And it's a blessing to give and then to receive. And it was funny, like last night, my husband and I, we drove to deliver a meal, and he's like, man, this is over 20 minutes away. Could go to someplace closer, but you know, God has us stretch in different ways, and
yes.
It's just having an open ear. Like, you might want to do something, but you know, it's not utilizing any common sense to do it or subject yourself
yes.
to the illness. But you can take a different avenue. So God opens different doors, and it is such a blessing to be able to interact with the different generations.
Mm-hmm.
I learn, and I'm reminded of some of the challenges of when you do have babies and little ones. And we all need to learn from one another and from the different generations.
Amen. So what Carol is saying is that Friday nights, she's going to put a group of people that can take care of our kids. No, I'm kidding. And we can go to dinner. No, but thank you. Thank you, Carol. Anybody else? So we're trying to do that. What is the situational? Jefferson. Yes, brother.
So I have a situational praise. So out of high school, I started coming to this church.
Yep.
I was saved at this church. Leadership here taught me sound doctrine. So many, the limited atonement, so many. By the time I went to college, I moved out to college for the first time. I thought every church was like this church.
Mm. Yeah, no, no.
Believe in the sound doctrine we are exposed to and taught. That is not the case.
That is not.
You will encounter every doctrine, A to Z, on everything. And I praise God for the firm foundation
Amen.
On which theology was built, doctrine was built, the way Christ was presented,
yes.
the way God was so honored, as Sal was saying, the holiness of God was so upheld. I was so prepared, and I didn't even know it. So really, praise the Lord for sound doctrine.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this church, who has taught me these things so well. Just praise God.
Thank you, brother. All right, one last person. It's gonna be the best one. All right, you got to beat everybody. All right, let's go. Yes. Yes.
And I've had people come up to me and say, well, what do you think of this? You know, they'll play me a video or show me a clip or something. And, you know, thank God that I can answer that and say, well, you know, this is what the Bible says. So you have to really look at that through the lens of the Bible.
Yes.
And, you know, take that with a big grain of salt.
Thank you, brother. Still got 30 seconds. I saw you raising your hand. Yeah.
Saying to people, like, you have no idea how good you have it here.
Yes.
And so it really, I was told that you should read the Bible. I was always encouraged, but not to make the Bible the fourth person of the Trinity.
Mm.
And that really was like, what are you talking about? It was just really degraded. So when I came here and learned sound doctrine, it just created such a love and a growth in me that I never had before.
Yeah.
I never understood how to grow in Christ. And the sound doctrine, it just changed everything in my life, my marriage, how I raised children. And it just, it was amazing to me how good theology was always discouraged because you never would know where it would lead. And that just was not the case for me. It wasn't head knowledge. It really turned to heart knowledge.
Amen. All right. So let's pray for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, because the sound doctrine, it is present here at Grace, that the foundations of your love and your knowledge and everything that are ingrained, that they're putting all those thoughts and all those affections, not just emotions, but the affections in our heart are pointing at you, that you please keep blessing the church that lies are being transformed. They keep transforming. We want to be sanctified, and all of us are on this progressive sanctification road to you, to be like you, to spend the eternity with you. So I ask you, Lord, that you bless not only this class, but all the classes, all the future classes, all the sound doctrine that is given out, that the people are well prepared, and that the hearts of every believer that is present, it is full of affection and love towards you, that we can apply, and that you will bless and give fruit to all these actions. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.